That ain't bad. Y'all will get better at that by the end of the week, right? All right, man, I'm so excited. I'm telling you what, I've been hearing about this camp for the last 3 years, not 34 years or however long, but last 3 years. My daughter is here somewhere right there. That's Ashley Nicole. And she's been coming here and been telling me every year. She tells me how amazing this is, what a great opportunity. And we're excited to finally get to be here. My wife is over here, this beautiful Indian-looking lady. Stand up here. Yeah, she's Indian. Stand up. Look, she don't want to stand up. That's my wife right there. That's right. That was the weakest clap ever for someone's wife right there. I don't know what that. Thank you. That's better. That's better. Yeah, that's good. Of course, that's Lynn would say that. That's awesome. I appreciate it, man. Let me just tell you, I know that y'all are looking at me like, what is this knucklehead weird dude with a hat on coming in here? Do any of y'all even have cowboy hats in this part of the country? So, yeah, like four people, right on. We're at the right place at the right time. Come on. Listen, it was funny because I was just in Tampa Bay, Florida. My wife and I, we travel full-time in the ministry, and we travel all over the country. And most of the places we go, they're not cowboys. So most of the time, we get exactly the same kind of response. And people are just kind of looking at us like, what's going on? What bist thou this, right? But let me tell you, if you'll just give me a chance, if you'll give me an opportunity to really open your mind and open your heart and get something tonight, God will not leave you stranded. Amen? I mean, it don't matter. Yeah, I think I'm the perfect example. Is it don't matter who it is that's ministering. If it's the gospel, if it's the good news, if it's the anointed word of God, you're going to get something out of it tonight. Amen? Amen. But it's up to us to open up and to receive. Amen? It's a decision that we make. I'm going to tell you right now, what I do is I sing Christian country music. We've had some amazing, incredible things happen. We have a song on the charts right now. This is the number 4 song in the country. Things have been going really well for us. And we got all the way here, and we got to Kevin Lamb's church in Cumberland, Maryland, where they wear boots there too. So that's pretty cool, yeah. We got all the way to Kevin Lamb's church, and I lost my voice. So I was really kind of bummed, and I've been kind of bummed about it for the last couple of days. But I'm standing there, and I'm listening to the worship team tonight. And I thought, you know what? I'm not just here to give. I'm here to receive myself. We're here as a team tonight. We're here as a team this week. We're all lean in together. We're all going to get something, right? So I made a decision that in faith, I'm going to sing tonight. Amen? Listen, I know that I'm putting myself out there. I know that I, to be honest with you, it's... I was a youth pastor for 4 years, and you guys, your age, scares me to tar out of me. It's nervous. It's nerve-wracking talking to a bunch of kids staring at you like. But what I decided to do is I know that sometimes it's nervous for you to put yourself out there. It's nervous for you to come into a group like this and to let yourself be open and be free and let other people see the real you. Because to be honest with you, if we don't get real with each other, we're not going to leave here different. Amen? So I'm going to get real with y'all. And I'm going to put myself in a vulnerable place tonight for you and just be obedient to God. And I'm going to sing this song. And I'm going to tell you what it is. I was in Florida, and I was watching the waves of the ocean come in. And on top of each wave, I was just like, God, that is just an amazing reflection of who you are. The waves, I'm from Arizona. I was born in Texas. I lived my whole life out in Tombstone, Arizona, out in the middle of the desert on the border of Mexico. And I have never seen waves, most of my life. So I'm sitting there looking at them, and they just keep coming. The waves just keep coming. They never quit. They never give up. And that's God. God never quit on me. No matter how far away from him I thought that I had gotten, here comes another wave of mercy. Here comes another wave of grace. Here comes another wave of love. Amen. I just want y'all to know that he's a wave on wave kind of God. And I'd like them to play that song, Wave on Wave, right now. that wasn't, no, I'm just kidding. So praise God. They're being very patient with me tonight. Come on, y'all, lean in on this song. And know it ain't about, realize it's not about vocals. It's about vulnerability, opening, and trusting God. Amen? Listen to the song. Mile upon mile, got no direction. Come on. We're all playing the same game. We're all looking for redemption. Just afraid to say his name. So caught up now in pretending. Come on. What we're seeking is the truth. I'm just looking for a happy ending. Come on. Lord, all I'm looking for is you, yeah. Come on. Lord, you came upon me, wave on wave. You're the reason I'm still here. Am I the one you were sent to save? Lord, you came upon me, wave on wave. Listen, I wandered out into the water. Come on. Oh, and I thought that I might drown. Well, I don't know what I was after. I just know I was going down, right? You ever been there? But that's when he found me. I'm not afraid anymore. You say you know I always had you, Johnny. Come on. Hey, I was just waiting for you to find what you were looking for. Come on. Oh, you came upon me, wave on wave. You're the reason I'm still here. Am I the one you were sent to save? Lord, you came upon me, wave on wave. Now how he works just keeps coming. Wave on wave. Never quits. He's never going to give up on you. Wave on wave. Father, we just love you tonight. We're so grateful that we get to be in your house tonight. Lord, we've looked forward to this camp for months and months. Lord, we refuse to leave here the same way we came in. Father, we are choosing to get all that we can get of you, Lord, tonight. This whole week, we give you this week. We give you our time. We give you our openness, Lord. We open our minds. We open our hearts. We open up all those closed areas that we said we would never let anybody in. Father, we open up and we are vulnerable before you, Lord. Speak to us. Minister to us. Change us, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody say it loudly. Come on, you can turn that off. That was weird. Usually my wife fades that in. Okay, I'm going to do something that kind of, this is so cheesy, but I'm going to do something kind of fun. Watch this. When y'all get that ready. Well, no, you're going to, before you do the video, I mean, before you take the picture, do this video. Watch this. Okay, this is one of my videos that's out there right now. And what I thought I would do, this is the song that's number four in the country called Turn Around. Let me tell you where this song came from. I was in Toledo, Ohio, and we were doing street ministry. And I'm walking around with the kid, you know, my wife and I were walking. And we were not really preaching at people. We were just walking around loving people. Asking them, how can we help you? What can we pray for you for? Is there anything that you need? Is there any food that you need? And we came across this kid, and he's nowhere, no shirt, you know, he's walking around, and he's got this giant tattoo on his chest, and it said, I fear no man. The problem was, he's about this big. I'm thinking, you might not ought to be advertising that, you know what I'm saying? Just somebody might punch you. So, but the other thing I thought is sometimes the hardest people to reach for Jesus are people that think they already know it all. And sometimes when I'm talking to adults or kids, the hardest I can tell when it's really hard to get in there and reach in there because they think they've already heard it all. The problem with that is that pride, that closed off thing will take you down a path that you don't want to go. And it'll keep you in a direction that you never dreamed that you could get to. And you just need to trust me that that's the truth. So we came up with a song. I wrote this song called Turn Around. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play it for you. And they're going to crank it. And I was just going to kind of lip sync to it. But we're going to sing to it, okay? And I want y'all to learn this song and sing it with me. And you'll be able to see the it's a pretty cool video anyhow. Let's play. Oh, yeah. Is that cool? I didn't do this video. Somebody else. All right, come on. Let's turn this thing up in here. Come on, put your hands down. Hey! Somebody say, yeah!
You think you got it made. You think you got it straight.
Man, he's good. All right, come on.
You tell all your friends you ain't afraid.
This is so weird. Come on, sing with me.
You think you got it all figured out.
I don't know my own words. Come on.
But life has a way of punching you in the mouth.
Come on. Hey,
where you gonna go when it all falls down? Oh. And who will you turn to when no one can be found? You're heading down. Brother, here's your chance to turn your life around. So turn around.
That's damn.
You're acting like you're tough. You're acting like you're cool.
I've lost a lot of weight, can you tell her?
You're always looking for someone to fool. It's all part of the game. Woo. But life has a way of beating you just the same. Where are you gonna go when it all falls down? And who will you turn to when no one can be found? To turn your life around, to turn around.
Come on.
It turned around. It turned around.
Come on.
May turn around. Hope he's where you're going. It all falls down. And he's the one you turn to.
Come on.
When no one is around, he knows the road that you're heading down. And you're the reason why he laid his life down. He laid it down. You better turn around.
It's so weird.
You know we laid it down.
Oh, come on. How many of you like some country music in here?
You better try.
All right. How do you like the country music that talks about Jesus in here? Come on now. Woo! Amen. That got really nice. Yeah, come on now, praise God. Isn't that funny? You ever had anybody do that for you ever? So we're just going to start off. We just start off weird and just get weirder, amen? Hey, let's do that real quick. Come up here and just, y'all, can we take a selfie?
Yeah.
One person, just me and her, is going to take a selfie right now. Sorry. Come here. My brother right here is going to take a selfie with us. Now, y'all don't make no weird faces. Okay, do it. I don't care. Just like, all right. So what do we say? Everybody on three is going to say yeehaw. Ready? Not you, sir. Okay, right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Yeah! Oh. We have busted. We have brought every weird stereotype in this place that we could tonight. So I'm just going to enjoy myself tonight. Let me just tell you. Here's my heart. I want to talk to y'all a little bit tonight. And if you'll give me just a little bit of time, I really feel like the message that I'm about to bring to you guys is going to be a great message to kick this whole thing off. Amen? And I really believe it's something, my heart is to give you something that you may have even heard before, just in a different perspective that might change your mind and change your life. Amen? When I was in Tampa Bay, Florida, I went to a juvenile detention center, and I walked in with this hat. And literally, everybody in the cell that I was at, like, fell out laughing at me. And I don't blame them. I'm a weird dude. You know, I'm a weird cat walking in with this hat into Tampa Bay, into a detention center. And I let them kind of laugh it out. And then I said, let me just say this. If you'll give me just a few minutes to really listen to what I've got to say, what I got to say may change your whole life. Because I believe that what the experience that God has given me with the power of the anointing will change and break the yoke off of every life that's possible. If you receive what God's got for you tonight, you will never be the same. Amen? And they did. And this is what God showed me. Growing up in Southern Arizona, I've always been one of those, like, wannabe cowboys. And I'm not talking about a fake cowboy. I'm talking about I want to be a cowboy. You know, that's my whole life. So I grew up down there, and it's like high school rodeo. I got a full ride scholarship to a college for rodeo. I went to go become a professional rodeo cowboy, and I got hurt in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and literally pulled my scalp off almost, and that was the end of my rodeo. But it was amazing because God knew my heart for that world, that atmosphere. So what God did is he allowed me to get back into all the pro rodeos, and I became a PRCA chaplain, where I traveled to every rodeo in America, and we put on cowboy church for professional rodeo cowboys, and we tell cowboys about Jesus. Amen? I don't know if y'all have ever been to a rodeo or even know what I'm talking about, but we did the Cheyenne Frontier Days, San Francisco Cow Palace, the NFR in Las Vegas. I'm the guy that got to go and represent Jesus to those cowboys. Amen? I just want you to know, first and foremost, is God knows your heart, and he knows what your passion is, and he knows what you love to do. And if you'll give your life to him, he'll lead and direct your path to be able to use what you love to teach somebody about Jesus. Amen? So my dream, though, has always been I wanted to have my own ranch and raise paint horses. That's always been my dream, to raise my own horses. And so I got to the point where I'm thinking, okay, I know about everything there is to know about horses and cowboys, and I am a cowboy, right? So I decided I moved to Great Falls, Montana, and I buy me a 70-acre ranch, and I am now a living cowboy. The problem is, you think you know a lot about horses and a lot about cows until you move to Great Falls, Montana. Them cats know everything about being a cowboy, and it was very humbling. It got to the point where I thought, you know what? I'm just going to wear bicycle shorts and a helmet for the rest of my life because I don't know nothing about being a cowboy. So I'll give you one example of a lesson I learned, and I want you to see if you can track with me on this. It was so amazing. I go buy my first paint horse, and I'm standing in the arena down at the bottom, and I'm watching these beautiful horses come in. I'm like, well, that's tall, and that's too short, and oh, that's pretty, and all that. And all of a sudden, I look up at the real cowboys up in the stands, and none of them are watching the horses. You know what they're looking at? They're looking down. they're looking at books, and I pick up one of the books. What is this? And I look at it. They're looking at the bloodline. They're looking at the bloodline. Let this sink in for a second. The value of that horse had absolutely nothing to do with what it looked like. It had nothing to do with the outward appearance whatsoever. The value of the horse, come on, is what was coursing through its veins. The value of the horse was what it was called, appointed, and anointed to do. What God had called it to be is what the value really was. So, man, what I did is I found me a dock bar horse, paint horse, and I paid a lot of money for this horse. And I got this horse home, and I put him in my round pen. This is just one lesson, but I'm going to go somewhere. You're going to see this. I put this horse in a round pen, and I'm thinking, this horse is just going to be awesome. And for the next hour, he did nothing but run around in a circle, putting his head out and his rear to me for an hour. And I just stood there and waited. And in my mind, I was wanting to yell at him, don't you know who you are? Don't you know what's coursing through your veins? Don't you know what you were born to be? You're just running around in circles showing me your rear. And then I thought, don't you know what price was paid for you? Come on. And I said, God, what do I do with this horse? I paid a lot of money for it just to run around circles. And the Lord said, Johnny, what did I do with you when you just ran around circles showing me your rear end? How many of y'all find like that sometimes that's kind of what you're doing? That was a good lesson for me. But what you got to understand is my whole life, I always had this idea about wild horses. I always had this dream about how amazing it would be to be a wild horse. That they were free. That they were the ultimate picture to me of what freedom looked like. They got to go and do what they want to do, go where they want to go, come when they want to come. They are in charge. They, to me, are a picture of freedom. And all my life, I always watched all the movies. You ever seen cowboy movies with wild horses in them? And they're like, they're always like running in slow motion, right? Just, they always slow it down and the hair's blowing in the wind. And like their nostrils are flaring, and it just looks so cool and so romantic, right? So I always thought of them as the highest place of freedom. One day I had this old cowboy come to my house, and he said, hey, Johnny, do you want to go up to the high line and capture some wild horses? Go to the high line and rescue wild horses. And my first thought was, no, man. Why would we want to go up there, capture those horses, I'm going somewhere, and bring them down into my round pen, put bits in their mouths and saddles on their backs, and make them fit into my system? They have it made. But there was a little boy inside of me who was like, we get to go catch wild horses. And that's who won. So we go up to the high line, and y'all, it's the coolest thing you ever seen in your life. They bring in helicopters, and they start flushing these wild horses out of these mountains. It is unbelievable. Literally hundreds and hundreds of these horses come running out of the mountains. And it's just, the whole ground just shakes with the power of these horses. And they bring them down, and they put them in pens, and they run in full blast. And their men, the males go this way, and the females go this way. And I'm sitting there, and my mouth is on the floor, just like you would be. And I'm just in shock and awe. And I got this old cowboy runs up. He says, man, you're just going to stand there and look at him? He's going to go get you one. So then my pride and my arrogance jumps up on me. I am a cowboy. So y'all got to see how absolutely ridiculous of a person I was right there. I walk in this rail pen, and I'm noticing all the cowboys are watching me. So I'm about to show these cats what's up. You know, let me get something. Everybody's scared to death about what I'm about to do. What'd you say? Never mind. That's a horse. Okay. So I walk in. And when I first walk in the route pen, I walk in with just absolute audacity. Everything I'm about to say to you right now, I want you to connect that everything, that from this point on, everything is a reflection of two things. It's a reflection of, number one, how we as Christians treat people who are lost. Number one. But number two, I want you to hear something so deep down in your spirit to get it into your knower that this, you were never called to be wild. So I walk in the arena, and I've got this absolute audacity of ridiculousness on me. I'm loud, and I'm abrasive. You know, I'm this guy. Somebody's taking pictures. Hurry up. How many people do you know, Christians, are like that? Loud and abrasive and just ridiculous. You're going to hell. You ever heard that? Have you ever seen that ever work on anybody? You ever been to a fair and you see somebody with a megaphone yelling and screaming, you're going to hell? Have you ever seen anybody stop and say, tell me more? I would love to hear more about how I'm going to hell, and I want to serve a God that would scream and yell at me, right? And so I walk in there, and I see this young mare running along the fence line. I'm like, oh, there she is. And I walk in there, and I'm making sure all the cowboys are watching me, and I see her running over there, and I missed because I'm holding the microphone. Tried to stomp me, tried to bite me. She tried to kill me. We had full warfare for 30 minutes. The horse pulled me to Utah. I had dirt in places I didn't know I had places. I had dirt, I'm pretty sure, behind my eye. And I'm literally, it's a life and death battle. And I've been pulled all over. And I'm literally screaming for help. I look up on the fence and all the old dudes are just laughing. And I got to a point where I just said, just shoot him. Just shoot the horse. The horse is going to kill me. You think I'm joking? I got to the very end and wore off all my skin on my hands. And I got to the very end and something inside me death's door. Because I know I was. And I took this rope
And I got up and I started dusting myself off. And I started just trying to breathe. Have you ever been there where you just couldn't even catch your breath? I was trying to get air in my eyes or something. Somewhere, just give me some air. I had cuts and bruises. My jeans were completely plumb just ripped off of my body. I had my elbow was gone. I didn't see my elbow for like 6 months. I don't know. Maybe God gave me a new one. I don't know, but I stood up. And I started walking to this horse. And the whole time I'm getting a little bit closer. And a little bit closer. And I was thinking, please don't kill me. And I got up right here. And that horse is just dead beat horse. Just breathing, nostrils flaring. And I got up right about here.
And all of a sudden, when I got up close to the animal, when I got up close to that thing, that lifestyle, in a moment, I realized that everything that I thought was true about a wild horse was a lie. Everything that I thought that they had it made, that in my mind, I thought it must be awesome to be a wild horse, to be so free. When I got up close, what I realized is that she needed me. That God had put me in a place to step into that round pen, to capture her life and rescue her. I looked, got up close, and I saw that she was just covered. I mean, her whole body was infested with all kinds of parasites and worms, and her skin was literally crawling with stuff. It was just so disturbing. And then I looked down, and she'd gotten like attacked by a mountain lion, and her hindquarters had been ripped through. And hadn't healed properly because no one was there to love her and take care of her. So it was just all nasty and pus. Then I walk a little up and I see that she's just skin and bones. Her withers are showing. Her hindquarters. And she's just like, no, there's nothing, there's no meat there. And then I could see that not only, come on, y'all going to have to capture this. You're going to have to be smart. Not only was she being attacked by other wild animals, she was being attacked by her own kind. Bites and bruises and cuts and kick marks. The reason she was skinny is because she'd been kicked in the mouth. And it caved in her teeth. And they had grown back improperly. We're all jicked and jaked. That's my word. Jicked and jaked. And you could tell she was not getting any nutrients from the food that she was even eating. Then I looked down and her feet had all grown out. No one was there to shod her feet. And then they were broken up into the quick to where she could barely walk. And I realized that what I thought was such a great lifestyle, such a great place to be, was actually hell on earth. Do you know I did some research on the wild horse? Did you know that the difference of lifespan between a wild horse and a kept horse? A kept horse can live up to almost 30 years. Did you know that a wild horse only lives between 7 and 12 years? You know why? Because they were never born to be wild. God never created a horse to be wild. Did you know that there's not actually supposed to be something called a wild horse? Did you know that somewhere, oh, you're going to get this, you really got to get this. Somewhere along the way, man loosed these animals out into the wild unto themselves. They were putting them out there to come back to do warfare, but they just left them out there. And get this,
generation after generation of being left alone, of not knowing what their purpose was on this earth, not knowing their calling, not knowing their destiny, not knowing their identity. Through generation after generation, they became less and less like the original blueprint that God called them to be. And they became more and more wild. I started thinking about that, and I remembered something that Paul wrote in Romans. And I want to read this to you. In Romans 1, verse 21. Don't check out on me. This is something I feel like God's going to shake somebody up this evening. This is a translation called the Mirror Bible. Powerful Bible, but it's just, I like it because it's kind of like cowboy terms. Put it in cowboy language. Y'all can check this out later. It's Romans 1, verse 21. This is what he says. He says, yet, man, come on. Here's what I need y'all to do. I need you to lean in and listen. I need you to really get this, what I'm about to say, because this is what it's all about right here. Yet man only knew him in a philosophical, religious way. From a distance. And they failed to give him credit as God. They're taking him for granted, and lack of gratitude veiled him from them. They became absorbed in useless debates and discussions, which further darkened their understanding about themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where the American church is for the majority right now. Is we are so caught up in disagreeing and fighting about, is this right, or is this real, or is this thing, or that thing, and we're sitting here fighting over stuff that don't matter, and people are dying and going to hell. You are the generation. You are the people. They're going to grab a hold of your identity, and you are the ones that are going to go out. My generation and generations that went before me have plowed the ground. But you are the generation that is going to be real with people. You are the generations that's going to reap the harvest. You are the ones that are going to pull in the wild horses. But before you go catching wild horses, you need to know who you are. You need to have a check and have an identity. The biggest thing that the enemy wants to do is to keep you befuddled of who you really are. I can see even already, I've been watching some of you, and some of you walk in, and some of you are wondering who's here and who's not here. And I'm cool with that. I understand that. Some of you don't know who you are. And I can't imagine. When I was your age, I wasn't focused on who I am. I was focused on my flesh. I was focused on worrying and focusing on the dirt of my life, not on who Jesus has called me to be. It took me years to get to a place that you are right now. And if you listen to what we have to say, you listen to your counselors and your teachers, you can leave here sharp. You can leave here focused, and you can leave here with a complete understanding of what your identity is and why you were put here on this earth. And I just want you to hear this again. You are not called to be wild. You're called to be His. Yes. Yes. I'm going to read this on. In verse 23, it says, their losing sight of God made them lose sight of who they really were. In their calculation, and the image and likeness of God became reduced to a corrupted and distorted pattern of themselves. Come on, listen. Stay focused. Suddenly, man has more in common with the creepy crawlies than their original blueprint. It seemed like God abandoned mankind to be swept along by the lust of their hearts to abuse and defile themselves. Instead of embracing their maker as their true identity, they preferred a deception of a warped identity, religiously giving it their affection and devotion. So many people are playing church. So many people are religiously just getting through, and they have not locked in to this is who God has called me to be. By being confused about their maker, they became confused about themselves. Women became snared in passion for one another, and likewise, the men became inflamed with an unnatural attraction to men. Even their personalities changed to the consequences of their delusion. And since they no longer honored or acknowledged God in their thoughts, they failed to see anything wrong with what they were doing. Now, I can already tell. I got a chill right there. Here we go. Here's another preacher going to talk about gays and lesbians and da-da-da. Let me tell you something. That's completely the opposite of what I'm talking about tonight. Follow me here. Do you realize how ridiculous it would be of me to walk into this horse's arena, put my rope around her, and then to be appalled at the way she acted? Do you realize how just ridiculous it is to be, I take this horse and then she starts to flame me and kick me and buck me, and then I'll be like, oh, how dare you act like that? Why? Because she's wild. She's wild. It's not my job to judge her as being wild. It's my job to love her, to capture her heart, to capture her mind, and bring her to the round pen, to bring her to Jesus. And Jesus will completely redeem that life. Jesus changes your want-tos. Jesus changes your perspective. So when you're talking, well, there's so much hate filled on Facebook, so much hate filled on all these. Let me tell you, the biggest lie in America today is when they say that just because I disagree with you doesn't mean that I can't love you. I can disagree with you. I was saying today, you're an Orioles fan. I disagree with you. We all do, he said. He was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I really disagree with him. I do. I don't care what you say. I disagree with you too. But you know, I said, give me that rope. But you know what? I love you. That's a small example, but y'all feel me on that? We can disagree and still love each other. So here's the end of the story, and I'm getting there right here. Is I just got an understanding. I get this rope everywhere I go because it's red. It used it so long, it's kind of turned pink. So I don't know. But I look at it as, this is the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus was shed so that I can figure out this rope. The blood of Jesus was shed so that I could love people and rescue them from the pit of hell. That I can walk into any arena at any time with the love of Jesus, and I can capture minds and capture hearts and bring them to him. And here's the deal. I'm here tonight to capture somebody's heart and somebody's mind for Jesus. So I'm going to finish the story right now. I get back to the truck. It took me an hour to get this horse into the trailer. An hour. And when it got done, I finally got that horse in that trailer. And that old cowboy come flying up on me again. He said, hey, man, go get your second horse. I'm like, second? I'm almost dead right here. You know, and in my mind, I was thinking, I don't want to do that. I have no desire to go back out there and get in that stupid round pen anymore. But I was so tired, I couldn't even say no. So I'm sitting there, I'm thinking of a way to get out of this. And all of a sudden, I almost audibly heard God say, Johnny, if not you, then who? If you don't shake it off, shake off this thing that has worn you out. Shake off this thing that makes you not want to get back in there. Shake off that thing that you had damage in your life. Shake it off. Shake it off, because someone's life depends on you getting back in their round pen. So I did. But I'll be honest. I'm going to be really real with you. I took my rope, and I said, okay, God, I'm going to do this. But here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go get me the oldest, broke downest horse known to mankind. And I did. I walked in and I saw this horse, and I'm looking for this old, I walked into the mail pen, right? And I'm walking in, and in the corner I see this old horse that was literally, I don't know how he was still alive. It was just death's door, and just sitting in the corner like this. I'm like, there's my dude. That guy is not going to drag me all over the arena, I'm going to tell you right now. So I got my rope, and this time I decided not to be so ridiculous, so obnoxious. And I decided to walk carefully and thoughtfully into their arena, into their round pen. So I tucked my rope. No more of this. I tucked my rope, and I snuck into there. And I was like, I literally was praying, God, please don't let this horse kill me. I just can't deal with this no more. Just, Johnny, just be obedient. I'm trying to be obedient. And I get about right here, and I see this old horse, and he's standing up against the fence like this. And he's just, all of a sudden, I notice he's watching me. His ears are turned to me. He's licking his lip, but he's looking this way. But he notices me. And I'm getting up, and I'm just about to raise my rope. And I'm thinking, he's going to kick me in the face. And I just get up just about right here, and that horse literally, honestly did this. He looked at me. And he lowered his head. And I walked up. And what I was thinking in my mind was, I know you don't know what I'm here for. I know that you don't fully understand what's about to happen. But if you will trust me, and you will just but come with me, I'm about to give you a life that you never dreamed possible. I'm about to love you like you ain't never even thought possible for someone to be loved. I'm about to shod your feet. I'm about to worm you. I'm about to feed you. And I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of every part of you. I'm going to give you life. Abundant life. And all you got to do is just trust me. Because you know what? Come on, get this. Because I know the plans that I have for you. You don't know. But I know. And if you'll just come on. Just come on. Just trust me. Just come on. And I gave a little slack, and that horse just walked in. And I thought, what's the difference between that horse and that young mare? Hey.
Baby, did you hear that? Okay, good. She didn't hear it, brother. You're good. He said because she was female. But seriously, brother, you might want to run. She found out. What did she say? She'll punch you right in the throat. She don't joke around, man. So here's the deal. The difference was that the young mare had not come to the end of herself. No matter what she looked like on the outside, no matter how much I was like, don't you see what your life is leading to? Don't you see that this is leading you to a quick, horrible death? She was still young and wanting to run. And she wouldn't trust me. But that old horse was like, you know what? I don't understand everything there is to understand. I know that. But what you got has got to be better than what I'm living. And it just so happened that I just so happened to be at the right place at the right time to capture that heart when that old horse was ready to come home. Every one of you knows somebody that's running. And you may be running yourself. You may be the one that's running in circles. My heart for you tonight is to lower your head and to submit to him and do just but trust him. Just trust him. Because he's going to give you a life that you never dreamed possible. If you'll give him you, all of you, he'll give you, he has plans for you, and he's about to take you to new levels. Did you know that that old horse, I got him home, do you know he only turned out to be like 10 years old, and he ended up being one of the best horses I had? Because he just looked old. Because he looked old, because he'd just been run down and run ragged. Here's my heart tonight. First of all, before anything else, I just want to speak to you that you see yourself as being wild. That as I was telling this story, you say, you know what? That's me. I just been running free and wild. I thought I had it all figured out. But really, I just want to come in the round pen. I just want to be his. I just want to lower my head and submit my life to a God that has a plan for me, that knows what courses through my veins, that knows what my calling and my purpose of my life really is about. And I want to let him have me. And I'm not even going to ask any eye closed, any head bowed. If you need Jesus and you want to make him Lord of your life, tonight is your night. It's your night to lower your head. It's your life tonight to start this week off right and say, I want him to be my Savior. Is there anybody in here that would say, yes, Johnny, pray for me right now. I want you to raise your hand. Is there anybody in here? There's a hand. There's a hand. Anybody else? Bring those, you two come up here. But here's what we're going to do. The next level is to say, you know what? I am born again. I am saved. I believe I gave the Lord my life. But ever since I did that, I feel like I've just been running around a circle, showing him my rear end. And I'm not giving him my submitted life. And I'm ready for him to lead me, to guide me, to mold me, to shape me so that I could be completely his, completely following who I was called to be so that I can go out to a world and reach other people for Jesus. And if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. There's a hand. a bold hand. There's a hand. Anybody else say, you know what? That's me. I'm ready. I'm ready. Come on. Y'all come up here. All of us. Who else? Who else is going to start the week off right and say, that's me. I'm ready to submit. I'm ready to stop running around in circles. I'm ready to give God my life. I'm ready to be fully His and give Him fully all that I've got to give. I'm ready to find out who I was called to be. I'm ready to find out what my life is really all about. I'm ready to make sure that God is the leader of my life. I'm ready to lower my head and submit my life. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Anybody else? Father, in the name of Jesus, let's hold hands like they're doing. Everyone, let's just gather hands right here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every heart that's standing up here tonight. Father, I thank you that there is no condemnation in you, Father. That there is no, we got to come and talk and just discuss everything that's wrong with us and talk about all the focus on our sin. We're not focusing on that. We're focusing on you. We've made a decision. We're not going to focus on what's wrong with us any longer. We're going to focus on what's right with you. And in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every heart, every mind that's in this up front here tonight, Lord, and even those that are not. That we as a body, we as a group, we as a people, we submit our lives to you. We lower our head and say, have me, Father God. Take my life. Lead me to where you want me to be. Lord, I want to be all that I can be so that I can be all for you. Lord, I want to go into every round pin in every area of my life. I want to be able to go into my schools. I want to be able to go into my work. I want to be able to go into different round pins and throw a rope of the love of Jesus around other people's lives and bring them to you. God, I want to be used of you. And so, therefore, I want to be filled up to overflowing with you. God, I need my purpose. I need my identity. Reveal yourself to me this week. Reveal yourself to me this week in a powerful, amazing way. Reveal yourself. Let me say it like this. I speak revelation to each and every one of you. That God will reveal himself to each and every one of you. That you will get a clear, purposeful, intentional understanding of where you fit in the kingdom of God. And you will gather your identity. Your identity is not in what you look like. Your identity is not on the outside at all. Your identity is what courses through your veins. And what courses through your veins is not wildness. What courses through your veins is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Your blood line doesn't go back to your grandma and your grandpa and back to years ago. Your bloodline goes back to the cross. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you received a blood transfusion. And what you don't know is when you received the blood of Jesus, you received a purpose. You received a destiny. You received a calling on your life. And in the name of Jesus, I speak purpose over your life. I speak that you receive a total revelation of who you are. God, reveal yourself to them. Reveal your identity to them for who they are, Father. Reveal in them their gifts. Reveal in them their purpose, their destiny, their calling, so that they can fully give it to you and be used of you. I thank you now in the name of Jesus that you are so completely in love with each and every young man and woman up here, and that you've got a purpose and a plan for them. And tonight, we as a group step into that calling. we take a step to say, thank you, Father, that you've given me life and that more abundantly. And we receive it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give everybody a hand up right here. Hand clap right there. Come on. Come on now. You don't know what just happened here. Let me just say this to you in closing. I'm done. I coached girls. I coached for a lot of years. I coached high school boys, and then I coached girls basketball, varsity girls basketball. And what it was, what I started to do is I started going back, and I started finding the youngest kids, the 12-year-olds. Everybody look at me. The 12-year-olds, the 13-year-olds. And what I decided to do is I wanted to grab their lives early on. Yes, worship team, that's a great idea. Thank you, man. See, somebody's on it. Praise God. Come on, stay with me what I'm about to say right here because this is good. I started, what I wanted to do is go back to the youngest kids and grab their lives. And what I, and this is just in basketball. Think about how this applies to the kingdom of God. Is what I wanted to do is I wanted to make the sport so wonderful to them. I wanted them to enjoy it so much, to fall in love with the game. You know why? Because I knew there was coming a day that the further up they got, it's harder. And it's not always fun. Sometimes it's a battle. And sometimes you run into a coach that's not always real nice. And sometimes you run into people. And sometimes you got to work hard. Sometimes you got to press in. Sometimes there's warfare. And if you don't have the baseline that you love this thing, then you start, people, kids start fading off. And that's why you see the number of kids playing varsity ball so much smaller. It's not just talent. It's because they can't deal. They don't love it enough to continue when it's hard. Go ahead and start playing. But here's what the Lord showed me in that. We as counselors, we as your covering here, my heart is, I want to reveal Jesus to you, to all of you, in a way that makes you fall in love with him so much and completely have him be your whole focus, so that what happens when you grow up and life comes against you and life tries, the winds of life try to pull you left and pull you right, that at the base of who you are, you're in love with him. And nobody and nothing can pull you off of that. My heart is for you this week, all of you, is to press in and get what God has got for you here. Let him have all of you. Let him get down in the deepest, darkest parts of you and have you fall in love with him, because this is the greatest time of your life, because you're going to need to be strong. You're going to need to have his, all of his glory on your life. You're going to need to have to know that he's with you, and you're going to need to know that no matter what you go through, he will never leave you and never forsake you, and he will always lead you, guide you, mold you, and shape you. This week is about digging in deep and letting him pour himself out into your lives, so that no matter what happens from this day forward, no matter what college you go to, no matter what jobs you go to, you will never, never go back. And you will never be the same after tonight, after this week. In Jesus' name, I speak that over your life. Amen. Y'all see this. Amen. Let's worship him. I'm not afraid to
Y'all help us sing that part. Holy Spirit.
Oh, behind you, in front of you. This is the future of God's kingdom. And he's saying it right now as we all shift, as we all join in worship. We're all going from wild to in his glory, in his path. And we are the future, and we will bring God's glory here on earth.
Come on, we're going to sing this song, and we're going to...